Okay, let's begin with our blessing. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim ve'na'atan lanu et torato. Baruch atah Adonai notein ha'torah. Amen. Before we start, just as we were starting a little bit, but officially, I'd like to let everyone know about this wonderful retreat that the Jewish Experience is hosting, and it is going to be the weekend of October 23rd and 24th up in Vail at the Vail Cascade Resort, which is really nice. There's a spa there. It's right on the river, the Vail River. I don't know what it's called.
Gore Creek.
It's right there, and so you can walk outside. It's beautiful, a wonderful Shabbos. Is designed to coincide with the Shabbos Project, which is a worldwide Shabbos event that is to bring people together for Shabbos. And beforehand, on the Thursday night of this weekend, before this starts, there's going to be the Great Challah Bake, kind of like the Big Fat Greek Wedding, except there's a Big Fat Challah Bake, bringing women together. All ages, stages, streams of whatever you believe, all Jewish women to come together to make challah. And there have been amazing videos of last year's Shabbos Project with thousands of women in the street where they shut the street down and tables set up so the women can make challah all together. It's an unbelievable event, and we're going to be doing that on the Thursday night of this same weekend. So we are doing this in conjunction with the Shabbos Project so that Colorado can be on the map with all the other cities around the world doing this. So this is a real bring your friends, family, amazing thing.
Do we have to sign up individually, even though people have emailed us about it?
I believe so. There will be a sign up because they'll need to get all the ingredients because everyone will have their own bowl. And they'll have all their own flour and their water. Everyone will have their own thing to make their own challah. So I can't even imagine the logistics of that. I'm on the spread the word committee, not on the get all the ingredients. I can't even get all the ingredients in my own house to make Shabbos. Like, oh, Steve, can you go to the store one more time? I need another onion. So I can't imagine being in charge of that. Yes?
But I've talked with the person who is in charge of
Devorah Popak.
And I'm trying to do a gluten-free challah.
Oh.
Yes.
So that would be, I was going to say there'll probably be an option for that, but I'm still experimenting with flowers and things like that to make it.
Okay, great.
As well as make it work.
Okay, wonderful. Okay, so stay posted, mark your calendars, save the date. So they're bringing in two great speakers from Israel, as well as a musical person who's going to do the davening. And all that stuff is optional. If you want to go take a walk during this is nothing like you must be here or there. There's food galore, as you can imagine. It's Jewish snacks, meals, nice Saturday night program, really a lot of fun, and it's great. So I would like to invite each and every one of you to come and join me for this. It'll be a really great time. Patricia.
Do you happen to know if it's on, does it end Saturday night?
No, it ends on Sunday.
Because it says 23rd and 24th, that's Friday, Saturday.
It ends Sunday morning.
Oh.
Okay, so it's the nights are the Friday night and Saturday night. Sunday morning, there's a brunch and like a final session in the morning, and then people can go.
Do you know how much it will cost?
Yes, I do. I do know how much it costs. It is early bird by September 25th. This is expensive, I know. $325 per person, and that assumes double occupancy, two people in the room. But I was thinking, what you're saving is the flight to Denver, because people are coming from around the world to come to Vail, and we don't have to. We live right in Denver. We can drive. So we can just go up there. This is for all the meals, for the rooms, for all the sessions, and everything. The challah baking is going to be in Denver on Thursday night. Then it's on Friday we go up to Vail. But as far as coming to the other... Yes, oh, absolutely. They're only designed to be in the same time, but they're not connected. They're not connected in registration or anything. The challah? I will send something out to everybody. because I think DeVorley just sent out some information more about it and with a video or YouTube or something, and I'll send that out to everybody.
Okay.
Oh, one is Rabbi, I want to say Yitzchak Feldheim, great speaker. He was here a few years ago, and everyone just wanted him to keep talking. He was amazing. The other person is Rabbi Orlovsky. He's very funny. Someone said he's like the funniest rabbi. So I've heard a lot of funny rabbis. I'm sure. And then the person who's the singer's last name is Willig, and he just put out a CD, or a new CD, so he's on the music. The
W-I-L-I-K?
No, W-I-L-L, I think, I-G, Willig.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay, I can get you some more information, but that's that, and excited about that. And it's my husband's birthday on the 23rd, so I'm really excited to celebrate his birthday with this event. Okay, now, do I have Parsha Nitzavim, Rosh Hashanah. That's where we're going to be today. And I have to tell you, I'm actually feeling very emotional about Rosh Hashanah. Usually not such the emotional type, but I'm just really feeling it and want to share some ideas and thoughts with you. And hopefully we'll be able to do something and have some ideas in mind so that we can go into our Rosh Hashanah. When we hear people saying, oh, so you're getting ready for the holidays, what does that usually mean? What are most people doing to get ready for the holidays?
Cooking,
shopping, okay? That's right. And we are supposed to be cooking and shopping. I have cooking to do and shopping to do and all those things and, you know, get all the laundry done and, you know, make sure the clothes are available that I want to wear because we're going to wear our nicest clothes. It's the new year. First of all, welcome back, Roberta. How's your hand? Okay, refuah shleima. We do have all those things to do. It's very exciting. People will be having family or going to company, going to friends, whatever it is that people are doing. And that is all what we're calling getting ready for Rosh Hashanah. So we have to really back up and think for a moment about why are we doing all these things. And remember that why we're doing it is because it's Rosh Hashanah. So the getting ready for Rosh Hashanah are usually the things that are the externalities that we're using as a vehicle to get into the zone of Rosh Hashanah. Sometimes we get stuck on the preparations on the outside and then forget to go in. The key is really interesting is when people leave services early to go home and warm up their food for the meal. That's when you would know that somehow you got lost in the holiday. You got lost in the preparations. You don't leave the main idea to go take care of the secondary thing. So it's a little, sometimes we get a little confused. But you'll see oftentimes in some congregations, like a bunch of the women leave because they have to go home and get everything ready. It's like, hello, why are we here? So why did you even make that meal? You made that meal because it's Rosh Hashanah, which is what we're doing here. In the synagogue and having our experience. So the preparation for Rosh Hashanah is that these things are all, they're not peripheral. I'm not saying they are obligatory. We are supposed to have nice food. We are supposed to dress beautifully. We're supposed to gather with people. All those things are part of it, but they are vehicles to get to the core. And the core is we are getting to the place of Rosh Hashanah. The year is going to be renewed. It is a day of judgment. We are all going in, and it's a Yom HaDin. It is a day of judgment. Now, when I just say that, it's a day of judgment, if you were going for a day of judgment, do those things that we're doing really seem like they go with the idea of a day of judgment? It's a day of judgment. Our life hangs in the balance. Oh, I think I'll have some pretty, you know, well, wear a pretty outfit, and I'll go to the table, and I'll make it lovely, and make my brisket, and make all my side dishes. What seems a little off there?
I think it does a little bit.
Okay.
In the fact of when I go to temple, I always have in my head, know before whom you stand.
Great.
And therefore, I want to look.
Okay. Now, that's very good. Appropriate versus, and now we're saying festive.
Right.
Okay, so what's the difference? Appropriate versus festive.
Right.
So appropriate, you're right.
This is an elevated.
This is above and beyond.
Now we're talking king.
Now we're talking king.
The king's palace.
Like, yeah, right. So you're going.
Never disrespect the king.
Right, and so you show honor to the king by honor is my best. And now when my best means my best in everything, my best food, my best clothes, my best everything, my best me, that's what I'm bringing, because I'm bringing all of that before the king. Even though I myself am in the synagogue, it's as if my house is behind me. King, here's me and everything. This is my everything I'm bringing to you. And I'm standing before you. And this is, I'm honoring you with this. So if the king was going, if you heard the king was coming to your house, you wouldn't say, oh, well, you know, today we're actually just having peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I hope you like it. You'd be like, oh my gosh, I better, you know, go out and get something and make it really nice. Okay, quick, clean up like the bathroom, dust, vacuum, something real quick and get it ready. Because if the king is coming to your house, you want to, and if someone said, well, you're being such a hypocrite because that's not how you look the rest of the week, you'd say, I'm sorry, the king is here. So it's not hypocritical. This is putting our best selves forward because we have an audience with the king. And then what if you find out, you know that king we just found out? He is related to you. And you're like, are you kidding? Like, I'm related to the king? Wow, now I'm really excited. So we're saying all throughout Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Avinu Malkeinu. My father, our father is the king. So now I'm got like, I got the best relative ever, plus he's the king. And now I'm like so excited, I'm like jumping out of my skin. That's Rosh Hashanah. And you say, oh, and the king is going to, this king is judging me? I'm like, I'm excited about that. And you could say, well, I'm excited, but I have a little trepidation about that because there is judgment involved there. But you know what? The fact that the king is going to judge me and wants to see what I'm doing, you mean like what I'm doing counts for anything? You even noticed me? So think of it, and nothing against people who work, no judgments here on value as a person. But what if the CEO calls in the mail clerk and says, I'd really like, you know, I want to have lunch with you. Why don't you come up to my office? So first of all, this mail clerk would probably be a combination of anxiety and excitement. It's like, he wants to see me? Like, I'm so, what should I wear? I'm like, okay. I'm like, I have to think of some things I want to say, you know. You know, you're doing a great job running the company. I'm really honored to be working here. You know, you would come with all of those words and you would be kind of a little anxious. And then when the king says, tell me, I've heard you've done a great job. Tell me about your work. I want to hear how you've done this year. What's worked for you and what hasn't? And you're like, I can't believe that anyone ever asked me. Like, my supervisor doesn't even ask me. And now the CEO is asking me. It's like, you care about what I do? What I do counts? So, yeah. Because in a company, if the mail doesn't get delivered, the work doesn't get done. There will be something major missing. So to be judged is actually part of our simcha. We're saying, I matter. You care about what I do. Everything I do and say is you have a record of and you want to discuss with me. I'm so honored. I thought I was like a little cog in the wheel and I was a dust of nothing and that I was irrelevant. So the fact that we are being judged is the source of our simcha. So we have two sources of simcha. The fact that we are being judged and that God cares about what we do and is having an interaction with us, that is a good thing. So it says, you know, the only people I'd like to see are the, you know, the senior officers and the senior vice presidents. The rest of you, you know, whatever. Everyone would be livid. I don't care about what all you other are doing. I just want to see the top brass. Like, we would be insulted. So we don't have that. We have every single one of us, regardless of our station, regardless of our income, regardless of our anything, have equal value in being judged and called to the king and have an entry with the king and have a meeting time, an encounter with the king. All of our holidays are called moadim, moadim l'simcha. They are called meeting times, encounter. So when we say holidays, in a way we're doing a disservice to our holiday. Because it's not a holiday, it's an encounter. An encounter carries a lot more weight than a holiday. A holiday is something I celebrate. An encounter is something where there is, what are we encountering? Who are we encountering? So if you'll remember that the Mishkan in the Midbar, in the desert, the portable sanctuary, that it had what was called the Ohel Moed. It was called, the Ohel means tent, and Moed means meeting, an encounter place. Just as the Ohel Moed was in space, a place where the Jewish people encountered God in a more intensive way, our Moadim are encounters in time. We are not commemorating, we are encountering. And that's a big difference. We don't say, oh, 5,000, we don't really talk about 5,776 years ago, God created humanity. We're saying God is creating humanity anew on Rosh Hashanah, and we are re-encountering that exact same spiritual energy, decision-making, because when God decided to make humanity, that was a decision, that was a judgment that God made, which was to create Adam. God didn't have to. It was an act of complete free will. On Rosh Hashanah, we think, well, you know, every other year on Rosh Hashanah, we had our Rosh Hashanah service, we heard a nice sermon, saw all our friends, went home and had a lunch, took a nap, and the world kept on spinning. What we're not seeing and what we don't know is that's not a given. God created the world for 1 year, and it has a due date on it, just like a library book. If it says due September 19th, then what happens to your ability, your right to hang on to that book?
It ends
unless you
renew it.
Okay? So when we say it's a time of renewal, we just dash off those words out of our mouth without thinking about what we are really saying. The world is, all of creation is up for renewal. Its expiration date is the day before the end of Elul, right before Rosh Hashanah, and the first day of Tishrei is its renewal date. So, you know, sometimes something says you can't renew it or you can only renew it for 3 weeks. It says we're asking for the renewal of the world, of all of creation, for another year. So you say it should be a good and sweet year. The world, you should be renewed. So we just say it in a flip kind of emotional way and not understand we're talking about the absolute renewal of creation that is going to happen for Rosh Hashanah. Patricia.
So the responsibility of the renewal of all creation lies on the Jews.
On the Jewish people. Except that...
Every year. So like
however,
all of creation.
However, yes, for all of creation. Okay. It's today, HaYom HaRat Olam. Today is the anniversary of the creation of the world, but the definition of world means the creation of humanity, because the world was only created for humanity. It says, Sof ma'aseh b'machshava tehila. That which is last in action was first in thought. So we sing that in Lecha Dodi at Kabbalat Shabbat. That we were created last, but we were created last because we were what everything else was created for. Not equal to. It is, the world was created for us. So that's when we say Hayom HaRat Olam. It's like a store celebrating its anniversary. It's the anniversary of its opening, not when they broke ground. They're only building the store in order to have the business. If the customers don't come, it's like, why have the store? So the whole thing is up for renewal because humanity is up for renewal. If there's no humanity, the world is not necessary. So some people think, like, oh, it would just be better if there were no people wrecking up the world. Well, it would be good if no people were wrecking up the world, but it wouldn't be better to not have people. The whole point of the world is the people. So if there's no people, then we don't need a world. So when we say human beings, that therefore, by definition, means all of creation is up for renewal on Rosh Hashanah. And the Jewish people have been entrusted with, at this point, but not in the future, have been entrusted with being responsible for keeping the relationship with the king, with the melech, in order to keep the kingdom going. Eventually, it'll be like Aleinu. You know, we say at the end of Aleinu that in the future, that everyone will acknowledge God, not become Jewish. Everyone will acknowledge God. They'll bend their knee, they'll bow, they'll all be part of the kingdom. That's what will be on that day. His name will be one. He will be one and his name one. Everyone will call upon God in the same way. All the other things will go away because the clarity will be there for people to see. Rosh Hashanah is basically a big Aleinu. It's about talking about the world and everyone coming to know God. And that's what we're doing. We're saying we're in, but we have to be the first. If the people who are the officers of the kingdom aren't even sure that they're in the kingdom or the officers, it makes it real hard to bring the rest of the people along. So Rosh Hashanah is where we renew, really, our allegiance to God. There's nothing about sin on Rosh Hashanah. There's no confession. We don't talk about anything that we've done wrong. There's no teshuva. That kind of part of teshuva is not in the picture. It is only the allegiance and that we sign up to be in the kingdom. So think about a young person, like a teenager or a young adult, runs away. And they get lost, and they get themselves lost in all sorts of things that are very self-destructive to them. And the parents don't know where they are. And they're like, where's my child? Where's my child? Where's my child? The first thing that's going to be on the parents' mind is,
are they safe?
And what would they really want their child to do beyond safe? Come home. We'll talk about the issues later. But if you don't come home, and we can't be in a relationship, then fixing the minor problems is really secondary. It's not going to help. So first it's the relationship. Reconnect the relationship. That's what Rosh Hashanah is. We're talking about reconnecting the relationship. There's not one word. You can look all through the entire machzor. This is a machzor for Rosh Hashanah. There's not one word mentioned about anything we've done wrong. This is just about come home to the castle. Come home. You are the royal children. Come home. Come home. And that's what we're focusing on Rosh Hashanah. Valerie.
If it's not the day of judgment, or if it's not, I'm getting a little confused here. Isn't that when we're supposed to be repenting?
I'm sorry, I couldn't tell you.
Isn't that when we're supposed to be repenting?
But we don't do this on Rosh Hashanah.
But if it's the day of judgment.
Judgment. So what's the judgment? It's not about the past. It is not. It's about the present and the future. Are you saying that you want to be in the kingdom? Do you want to be in God's world under God's loving leadership? That's what we're doing. That's why it's an Aleinu. It sounds foreign to us because we don't have those metaphors anymore. We're not under a king.
So Rosh Hashanah is about getting our act together for the future, and Yom Kippur, which is later, is about
correcting the past. It's like, come home, and now that you're home, we'll sign you up for therapy. And we'll go to family counseling and we'll whatever. You can't say, first come home. First come home, and then we fix the problems. But first say you want to even be part of it. Because if you don't want to be part of it, I'm maybe not so interested in helping you fix the problem. So first come home. And say you want to come home. I want to come home. I want to come home, and I want from now, when people say, like, let's just move forward, that's Rosh Hashanah. And now let's move forward into this new year. How do I see myself being in this new year? What do I want? What are my aspirations for me to be in your kingdom? What is my relationship going to look like with you, God? What's my relationship going to look like with you, the rest of the Jewish people, my family, the whole world? This is future thinking. It is not about confessing sins and my mistakes or my weaknesses or my shortcomings. It has nothing to do with that. That's also a big day of celebration. Good. We're not going to really be talking about me on my day of judgment of what I've done. This is not the weight of the past. This is only the vision of the future. That's Rosh Hashanah.
I never realized.
I just remember when you used the analogy of a game plan.
Yes.
That always stuck with me, is making a game plan.
Making a game plan of how, what we're going with is really our, what we're going to be being judged on is a game plan, a business plan, whatever kind of plan works in your mind as a metaphor, is what are your goals? What do you want your life to look like that's moving closer to the ideal version of yourself in relationship with me, God? That's what I want to hear you say. And if you say, you know, I'm not even really sure, I just know I love you and want to be close to you, it's like, okay, we can work with that. Okay, that's, you know, it's the same thing that says when somebody comes in for an interview into a business, that what is it the interviewer is looking to hear? Basically, the bottom line.
Enthusiasm
for what?
The job skill.
A job or?
The vision of the company.
That company. So when someone says, first of all, when someone says, I'm willing to do anything, that's a little vague. Okay? And it's like, can we? Meaning, I mean, but that's also vague. That doesn't, like, let's pin it down. The main thing is when they always tell people, before you go in for an interview, you need to do some research about the company so that you can identify how what you are able to do fits in with the vision of the company. If you say, well, I'm just looking anywhere that will take me, and this is what I'm very skilled. I just want to work anywhere that will take me. Then they're like, I'm not sure we want you because it doesn't sound like you really want us. So we say, I want to work for you. because you have this vision, and this is what you do, and this is your product, and I'm like that. I'm aligned like that. That you say, oh, then you sound like a viable candidate. That's what we're basically saying to God on Rosh Hashanah, is I want to be in your kingdom. I am your servant. Now, we also don't like that word because we don't want to be servants. We want to be free agents. But we're not. We are servants. That's the ultimate compliment, is to be an Eved Hashem, a servant of God. That was Moshe's top billing name, is that he was a servant of God. So we say, I want to be in your kingdom. I have what to contribute. I'm not perfect, but I want to be in your kingdom. It's like, sounds like you're the person for me. That's what we're being judged on. Not the past errors, mistakes. That will take care of on Yom Kippur.
Well, wasn't it, Elmeno originally was part of the Rosh Hashanah service?
Oh, I don't know. Is that right?
That's what I heard.
Oh, okay. That may be.
Later it was
put into the regular, everyday.
Daily service.
Because, so that, I'm not familiar with that, but it's possible. But definitely Rosh Hashanah is the Aleinu expanded into the whole day is really about that. And that's why we have the section. All the prayers change, and they say, they add the word in melech, or they substitute melech for el, which means God. So king for God, even though we understand that God is king. But this is like, this is the day, it's called the day of the coronation. And we're there.
Rosh Hashanah
is the day of the coronation of God as king. It's like we are the crown on God's head. And the bigger the crown, the more expanded the kingdom is. That's why it's great when we see some people get upset. I can't believe they're only here 3 days a year, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's like if you're having a coronation, the more people, the better. That says like, wow, how many people said, you know, today so-and-so was coronated as king. And they say, well, how many people were there? Nine. It's like, what kind of king are you? Nine people showed up at your coronation? That doesn't sound... Now, a despot can have nine people show up when they swear themselves in as the leader of the world. That's force. But a king, that concept of kingship is... The kingdom is what coronates the king. A king is only as good as the kingdom that is that chooses to be under the king's rule. So we're voluntary subjects. Does that make sense, Eileen?
This might not be the place for the time for the question.
Okay. It's definitely the place, but it may not be.
Right. Okay, and if it isn't, but I'm going to be having people to my house who are my family, highly assimilated.
Yes.
There's going to be children. There's going to be teenagers. There's going to be people my age and older who don't. They're going to say, if I talk about this, they already think I'm like turning into the church lady.
Yeah.
You know, they're already like, you're a born-again Jew, question mark.
Yeah.
So
well, how can we say this in language that others can appreciate?
Because as soon, even when my son got married, he said, you know, don't say the word God. I said, okay, I'll say divine presence. I'll say that the magic and mystery of the universe that created everything we don't understand. This is how I'm talking at his wedding.
Uh-huh.
To make people comfortable.
Yes.
Right? So, if you can give me any ideas about how to, like, and even some of them are like toddlers.
The toddlers actually,
they're
the easy ones.
God?
They actually do know God.
And when they ask that, the parents are listening.
Yes, because they...
God forbid I should...
He's the creator of the
heaven. Say the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway. Okay, I hear what you're saying.
How to talk about
God without talking about God. Okay, so, especially on the day when we're saying God is the creator of the universe. Because there's not such a thing as like a force created us. There's too much work. That is really the most illogical thing ever.
I don't even know what to say.
I know. So, it says, we are, look at the human being. We have so much potential. We already know we only use a certain percentage of our brain. We are all potential. We have unlimited potential. How are we going to reach more of that, use more of that potential, develop more of that potential this coming year? We were created to be great. Everybody aspires to greatness. Sometimes we get distorted into different ways. I'll be great in a sport. I'll have the most money. I'll have the biggest house. I'll have the newest car. But people want to be great. People do not aspire to lowliness. Unless there's something wrong with them. People do not aspire to lowliness. So we all aspire to greatness. And we appreciate that. And we appreciate other people who are great. Look how we are about, that's the actress that played the whatever. Oh, my gosh, she's the best. You know, can I have your autograph? You don't say that to the person who's like, you know, sweeping the floor at the theater. You swept the floor at the theater? Can I have your autograph? You'd be like, okay. All right. So again, we're not judging people. It's good to sweep the floor of the theater. But we aspire to greatness. We want to be close to greatness. We want greatness. The challenge is to find our spiritual greatness, our emotional greatness, our character greatness. And Rosh Hashanah, you can say, is about that. Saying that we have a new lease on life, for saying we don't have to continue being the way we've been for the past year, the past 5 years, the past 20 years. Just because we got used to ourselves, we don't have to just go around in circles. This is the time to leap up to a whole new level. And everybody can relate to that. The truth is, the kids would be A-okay hearing God, because kids get God. They don't have all the layers of garbage on them yet. They get God. They maybe not have the language for it, but they get God. So you could say, God created you to be very, very special. And God wants you to be the best you you can be. The others may need to hear something without that word, but the kids can understand that they know God.
What if they say, well, where is God?
God is everywhere.
Well, I do say that.
God is everywhere. And you can say, isn't that hard to understand?
Yeah.
Isn't that hard to understand? You can say, it's like, my love for you is everywhere. Even if you're not in this room, I love you.
Oh,
you know? My love for you is everywhere. It's not like, oh, it's only here in this room, but if you walk out the door, not there. It's like, nobody would think that. And once you're over 2 years old, you know, and have whatever constancy, permanence, or whatever, you can know that something can exist without you seeing it. So.
Well, there's some parable or whatever that was, how do you know who built this house? Did somebody build this house? Yes. How do you know? Because it's here, whatever. You know, you don't know the architect, you don't know the builder, you didn't see that, but the house still is here.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I mean,
very.
I didn't come up with that. It was some rabbi, like a keeper or something.
Yes. Yes, you're right. You're right. That's a great thing to say.
Same
perfect.
Electricity. You don't know. You can't see it.
How it works.
You still flip the switch.
That's right. Where are the radio waves? The wind. You can see the effect of it. You can see the effect of it. So things you feel the effect of, but I think that Patricia's example is beautiful of that about we see a world. If you were on a hike in the forest, people don't understand with an object, and you came across a... You know, I don't know, a little toy or something. Would say, oh, well, did this come here? Was this here before? Was this always here? They say, no, somebody must have brought it here. Well, who made it? Well, at a company. Did you see them? No. Well, then how do you know it was anybody made it? Well, obviously someone made it. It's like, that's so intuitive. We know that. Mm-hmm. So to play on that, I think, is a great example. Thank you. Lynn.
It's also a little bit more challenging for things you can't see, but... I have a question about the coronation, because certainly God doesn't need us to crown him.
God does need us to crown him.
God does need us. I thought God has no needs.
God has no needs except to... Okay, let me say it this way. Actually, I shouldn't have interrupted you. Do you have more to ask in your question?
Well, I just want to know, so what does it do for us to be participating in the coronation?
Okay. God wants it for us so that we can maximize who we can become. Because it's only in the realm of the kingdom where we can become the best us that we can be.
So for our
benefit. For our benefit. It's not that God has an ego. It's like, if you don't crown me, you know. But God can only be... God is already ruler of the universe. We say that. He's a ruler. But to be a king requires a crown. And the crown, when someone is coronated, they are coronated by somebody. If you put the crown on your own head and say, now I'm king, that's pathetic. And it's also, or it could be called, it's like, it says that God is crowned on the praises of the Jewish people. So this is our coronation. It is, but it's for our benefit, but God wants us to do it for our benefit because it brings us into that relationship.
How does that follow then? We strive to be in the image of God. Does that mean that we're striving to be royal?
Yes.
Yes.
We are born royal. We are God's royal subjects, except many of us have left the kingdom and got lost and even forgot that we were the royal subjects. And we thought, it's like somebody who's a Rothschild heir who thought their last name was Roth and just, you know, forgot the PIN number on their account. And they're wandering around, like, schlepping around. It's like, it's not just Roth, it's Rothschild. And you, your PIN, here's your PIN number, come get your inheritance. So we have in the Torah, it says, Torah Tziva Lana Moshe, that God commanded the Torah to Moshe, Morasha, an inheritance, Kehilas Yaakov, to the entire congregation of Jacob. Every Jewish person, not just the greatest tzaddikim, not the rebbeim, not just the whatever, people who do this or that. Every single Jewish person is royal family. They can say all of humanity is royal. Yes, we were chosen to be in a specific kingdom to accomplish a certain goal, which is to bring the knowledge and awareness of God to humanity. That is the Jewish people's goal, is to bring the knowledge and awareness of God to humanity. That is our one, our mission statement, if you had to reduce it to that, that's our mission. Our mission is to bring the knowledge and awareness of God to humanity. Notice there's knowledge and awareness. You can know something, but keep yourself from being aware of it. So like Lynn started out with, know before whom you stand. Okay, it's written right on the, you know, above the ark, right? It is in many synagogues. So everyone can read it. Okay, know before whom you stand. I know that. Am I aware of that in my everyday life? Is that an awareness that I carry with me that is influencing how I behave? That's a whole different thing. The mission of the Jewish people is to bring knowledge and awareness of God to humanity. And that's why we talked about that before. Anything we do, all our other endeavors, if it's not connected, or it doesn't help make that happen, it's good, but it's not as great as it could be. That's not, other things are not our mission, really. Laura.
You know, Eileen, when you talk about that, the question for me, and having grown up in the South especially, is I know that the Christian world is, okay, so what's wrong with that? Like, what's wrong with being the church, like, honestly? Like,
for me, nothing.
Yeah, like the question really is like, and so what's wrong with that? Now, I know that inherently, like, the Jewish soul knows that that's not what we are, but it is actually what we are. It's just that in the non-Jewish world, it got misdirected, and there's this other presence, you know, hanging on a cross that has been misdirected toward. Mm-hmm. But like, that really is who we are. I remember learning that from Maury Palatnik.
Yeah.
Like, we are the church people. Like,
we are.
That was really us, and it got misappropriated by the world, and so now we're like, ooh, because it was never really safe for us to be like, we're those people. No, we needed to sort of be lower. Well, it became one. It did become a joke, right? But
it's like when I was teaching at Ramah, it was like when Saturday Night Live.
Had the church one.
Yes. Yes, that's what they called me also. Except I kind of looked like her, so that was more pathetic. So I was like, I am. Except, you know, the church lady on Saturday Night Live, whatever. It's like, you know, so there are a couple of other things I want to talk about in our time. We only have 20 minutes left. So, but all of this is relevant because what we're talking about is, see, we're so, what you mentioned is how distant we are. So people will come for the meal. So they've got I'm happy to come for the meal. I'm happy to come and be together with other Jewish people. But don't bring up the main idea of why we're here. It's like, I want to go to a birthday party, but let's not sing happy birthday to the person whose birthday it is. I like cake and ice cream. But can we not talk about the birthday person? It's like, why exactly do you want to come to this? It's like, because the Jewish neshama is like a homing pigeon, and it wants to come home, even if it can't quite get itself through the door. It's like, I can only get this close, and then I'm so distant and so disconnected and so afraid of my identity that you make me kind of nervous when you even talk about that.
Can I just say that I teach a lot of people who are like that?
Yes.
And I get such a joy from teaching them because they really have a life change.
Their children.
From their children, but they teach their parents.
Yes.
And from what they learn,
Yes.
It's really a life-changing experience for them.
So what you're saying is interesting. So we're told in the future, it says that God will turn the hearts of the children to the parents and the parents to the children. But it's like, who's going to be teaching who? It says the children will be teaching the parents, which is why I have to say, you know, like in the Jewish experience or Kiruv, or getting the children into an educational process that lets them be comfortable and knowledgeable about who they are, so that they, in their innocence, you know, I have to say, I remember, we never had a sukkah. I never had a sukkah growing up. Maybe it was about going to Herzl. Something where my daughter laid under the dining room table and said, I'm not going to come out until you say we can have, I don't remember if it was this, I mean, those are two very big different things, but they were both things, there was like a little thing, her emotional reaction, I'm not coming out from under the table until you say either like that I can go to Herzl or that we can have a sukkah. And I was like, okay, I guess we'll be doing that. So, but it was her and her innocent connection, and we were not a disconnected family by any stretch, but it was her. Now, if Steve and I would have been having like a talk about this, it might have not gone so well, because then it's a power thing. When your kid is lying under the table insisting that they have, you know, something Jewish, it's really hard to say no to that. Okay, so the children are the key, because they have not been impacted. That's why I said, I think we talked about a while ago. We are all considered like kidnapped children. We have all been kidnapped and been raised in a non-Jewish family. We are as if we were taken away, because otherwise, how do you explain this, that a person would be so afraid of their identity and so uncomfortable and so anxious about it that they can't relate? If they were invited to someone's house that was about voodoos or some voodooism or whatever, they would be, or Buddhist, or voodoo. I'm talking about, when I said voodoo, I was thinking like something really strange. They'd be, so tell me about this. What exactly do you believe? But when it's like my own thing and who I am, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, can you not go there, please? It's like, it's time to come home, people. Yes, Eileen.
This is about what you said about the children. I remember I learned about Shabbat candles and I begged my mother to do Shabbat candles. She wouldn't do it, but I begged her to do it. Terry, his mom would bring home a ham, and he would throw it away. And his mother would say, where's the ham? And he'd go, I threw it away. We're Jewish. He did it 3 times. And his father said, I work 12 hours a day so you can throw away ham. He goes, we're Jewish. And from that
I love
day
it.
Forward, from he was like 14. From that day forward, no trade from their house.
Good.
From that day forward.
That's just so.
See,
he was just like Abraham, who broke all the idols in his father's idol shop.
I know.
He was a child. We think, who is more in tune with reality? You know, like, oh my gosh. Okay. 15 minutes. Let's see what I'd like to focus on here.
But it's so good. Whatever it is.
Yeah. So just as this hasn't, actually I did not prepare to say this at all, but let's just think about that in the Torah reading and the Haftorah for the first day of Rosh Hashanah are both about babies. Babies. The birth of Isaac, the Torah reading, is the birth of Isaac. The Haftorah is the birth of Samuel. Now, the truth is those are about for other reasons, but it's about the continuity and Hannah begging for a child. Again, I think I've said before, not because she wanted to go to Baby Gap and dress them all up cute. In fact, she says to God, I will give him to you. And she takes him after he's weaned to the temple to serve and to grow up, and he was the first prophet of the Jewish people. So, I'm sorry?
So she nursed him 5 years?
Three years. Because 3 years is the age, it's like now, like where a little boy has his hair cutting and when he starts to learn. It's when children start to say, why? That's the age of the beginning of education. Why? Why is this? Where is that? How come? It's like, why? Of course, it can make you crazy when it's why for every single thing, but the truth is that's the most beautiful, one of the most beautiful stages. That's why you start instructing a child when they start asking why. So Hannah took him to the temple then to serve Eli for the rest of his life. So it's about children. The children are the ones who are the closest to God, and it's we have to give them, let them retain that connection and give them the language to speak about it. And when they do, you will see. So I had an interesting experience. A few weeks ago, we went up to Longmont to the rabbi, the Chabad rabbi, Rabbi Borenstein. And we had meals with his family, and he has beautiful little kids, friendly, engaging, really sweet. So the three little girls were like all around me. It was so lovely. And they're all three talking at the same time. And they're telling me this, and they're telling me that. And I said something about your family. It's all these chill, lovely siblings. And so one of them says, well, we had another, I think it was like another brother, but he died. I said, oh, I'm so sorry. He said, yeah, he died when he was born. And I said, oh, that's so sad. I'm very sorry to hear that. He said, she was like, Pat, it's okay, because he's with Hashem, and so he's good, and so we're okay. And that was just a, like, very, you know, emotional but matter-of-fact, like, Hashem, he's in Hashem's world. There is nothing other than Hashem, so he's okay. He's not with us, but he's with Hashem, so it's okay. We're with Hashem. It's okay. We're all in the kingdom. When we try to take ourselves out of the kingdom and we think we're leaving, we're going to the far-flung regions of the kingdom, but there's really no such thing as getting outside of the kingdom, because God's kingdom is the only reality. But the goal is to come in and to be in the palace, because that's where the royal children belong, is in the palace. Rosh Hashanah, we're going to have a whole section called Malchiyot, all about crowning God as king and bringing ourselves in. What it's saying is, God, you are already the ruler. I want to be in your kingdom. I want to be associated with you. I want to be like you because you made me like you. We are created, B'Tselem Elohim, in the image of God. Our goal is to make ourselves like God, to be God-like. This was a rabbi who I heard was very interesting, Rabbi Yonasan Rodin, who said, it's interesting when we say, I like you, that studies have shown, who are the people that we like? People like us. When they say opposites attract, that's in external things. In things that matter, opposites do not attract. Opposites repel. If somebody on external things, like, you know, like you're gregarious, he's quiet. Okay, that can be good, because if everybody was gregarious, it could be like a, you know, overwhelming. If everyone's quiet, it could be kind of quiet, too quiet. So in those opposites, but that's not the essence of a person. That's not their values. That's not their morals. That's not their character. Character traits, if those are opposite, no can do. You know, here, you're opposite. You are an honest person. I have someone who cheats. So opposites didn't that attract you because he's opposite from you? It's like, are you kidding me? It says we're supposed to be like God in the things that matter, which is in our character traits. We are made to be like God, and we are supposed to develop those more and more so that we can be closer and closer. So when someone says they're close to something, it can also be understood as they are like something. You have a close resemblance to. That means you are like them. We are supposed to be like God, to be close resemblance to God in the things that matter. People say, oh, well, God, you can't see him. God doesn't have a hand. It says, God is a giver. We were given a hand to demonstrate the act of giving that we are supposed to develop. Every part of our body was given to us to help us develop the inner qualities that are like God, to make us like God so that we can be closer to God. That's what brings us close. That's what brings us closer and closer into the palace. So what we're saying on Rosh Hashanah is, God, I want to be part of your kingdom. We're not discussing how I got myself so lost. That'll be next week for Yom Kippur. Judge me that I want to be in your kingdom and that I want to give everything I have. What do we say in the Shema every single day? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. That's not just a phrase we're saying. That is what we are saying. I love you. I want to be in your kingdom. I want you to be Avinu Malkeinu. You are our Father and our King. You love us and you rule over us, and we welcome that rule. When someone, again, going to a job, when someone applies for a job, they say, I want to work for you. They don't want to say, I want your job. Okay, maybe they'll get the job later, but I want to work for you. So we're saying that to God, I want to work for you because it's good for me. My daughter just started a new job with Microsoft, and she says, they're such a great company to work for. Says, God is the best company to work for. It's the best CEO ever. And we want to work and be in that kingdom for our benefit, for our benefit. So God willing, we will be written and sealed in the book of life in this kingdom to come, literally the kingdom to come in this coming year. And God willing, we'll all find our place and elevate ourselves to come just closer and closer to be more like God for our benefit, for God's benefit. You could say it's like when a parent has a child and the child, why do we want our child, why do we push them to do their homework and brush their teeth and go to bed on time? Is it for our benefit? It's for their benefit. But their benefit makes me happy. I love if my child is doing well. I love if my child is healthy and doing everything to make themselves a better person. That makes me happy. So you could say, do I need that? At some level, yes, I do. I need, if I created something, I want it to be the best something it can be. Even if it's, you know, a cookie, you know, I want the cookie to turn out. I want my child to turn out. God wants all his children to turn out. Susan.
Have you addressed why this year did you have emotions?
I have no idea why.
I didn't hear the question.
As I said, I'm just so much more emotional about Rosh Hashanah this year. So Susan said, have I addressed why? I don't know. I think because I've been doing more spiritual preparation than the externals are behind, and the internal is proceeding as scheduled. So I don't know. It's just really hitting me. Maybe because the physical world, bless you, the physical world is so clearly out of control. So clearly out of control. I don't think that, it's not me. You don't have to be any kind of spiritual genius to see that. That it's like, okay, God's world is the only answer here, because there's not a political answer. There is not an anything else answer. There is God, you need to make your kingdom as strong as possible, because that's the only thing that's going to work. We're there. We're there. Have a wonderful Shana Tova Mutuka. It should be a good and sweet year. All our growth opportunities should come sugar-coated, and so that we can enjoy them and not feel
sugar-coated.
Growth opportunity, because you ever notice growth opportunities tend to come in the form of challenges and aggravation. So if they could be a sugar-coated growth opportunity, just like Mary Poppins, a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. So our growth opportunity should be sugar-coated. That's why we say a good and sweet year. A good year means beneficial. Sweet means, and it should taste good going down. So hopefully that's what our year will be. So wishing you a wonderful Shana Tova, and look forward to seeing you next Thursday. Have a good Shabbos and a good year.
After we say